Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show, right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnyEastwoodShow.com, broadcasting live from Auckland, the fabulously fluoridated capital of New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, Fukushima irradiated, and toxic RENA chemical sludge contaminated, and everybody has a job, part-time, of course, as an incandescent light bulb. We produce green energy here because it glows in the dark. And I'm just joking. Of course, the only thing that glows in the dark here is John Key's fake toupee. I'm just joking again. I have a guest today, ladies and gentlemen, another Kiwi collaborator coming on board, and I'm not sure if he's even been on radio before. In fact, he called in yesterday, unannounced, of course, and we're going to have a very interesting conversation today, speaking of contamination. Jason, hey, welcome to the program. Jason, can you hear me? You seem to be having some problems with your Skype settings there. If you just play around with the preferences and your microphone and whatnot, you might be able to get it sorted. So just, you know, play around and periodically say the word test after each measure. And once you come back in, we'll have something for you. Contamination, ladies and gentlemen. I wanted to talk about the Canterbury region. Just been hit by the earthquakes, right? And we've run through the evidence on the show with a number of investigative journalists and researchers and experts, former intelligence officers and such like that from the United States and New Zealand. And their unanimous conclusion, based upon enormous amounts of evidence collected, is that it is definitely a HAARP incident. And we have a big problem in this country now because Canterbury has been taken over by this big, well, basically, they had this thing called ECANS, right, which controlled the region. Canterbury is incredible. If you've ever been there, it is mountains, basically, in the backdrop on either side of you, next to an ocean, in a beautiful harbour, snow-capped peaks, giant plains, and It's basically that Lord of the Rings type stuff. And there's also an enormous, incredibly flat, straight city built on a swamp there called Christchurch. Who in their infinite wisdom figured that one out. I guess we'll have to look at the history books. I can't be bothered. But the point is we're stuck with it. And you've got a whole lot of people who have been living there for a very long time. This is not a new settlement or anything like that. This is one of the biggest cities in the country. It's quite well spread out. Center of commerce for the entire region. And having it knocked out almost is like, let's say you got to go to work and you need all four of your limbs working. It's like getting one cut off. That's what's happened to the New Zealand economy as a result of these Christchurch earthquakes. And when the shock doctrine gets implemented, if anybody's not heard of the shock doctrine, there's a great documentary online called The Shock Doctrine, and it'll clue you in. But summing up, they'll create a big problem, a crisis of some description. And then when everybody's all distraught and out on the street and cold, homeless, and basically, once people's independence has been taken away and they become completely dependent on government and aid from overseas, it allows you to come in and set up shop and take it over and run it the way you want it run. Same thing happened in Haiti. Same thing happened in Katrina. Every time there's a disaster, the scumbaggery element in society, as I like to call them, come out of the woodwork to offer their aid and financial support. And by aid and financial support, in the case of Haiti and what have you, they're just sitting there drinking Mai Tais. And in Christchurch's case, we now have contractors who are essentially, for all intents and purposes, taking over the city. These houses being demolished, buildings are being demolished all over the place. They don't need demolishing, just need a little bit of strengthening. But they're doing it anyway. Why? Because they've also got the contracts to rebuild. So it's actually in their best financial interest not to fix up the buildings, which is perhaps a little bit more time-consuming or whatever, but just to level the whole place and start from scratch. Because there are some big plans for Christchurch in the works, I tells you what. There will be several suburbs that are virtually uninhabitable because of the liquefaction. Okay, goodness knows what they're going to do. You can't sell those houses to anybody. Government's got guarantees, and what they're doing is they're getting the country monstrously into debt so they can bail out people who the local council gave permission to build on sand. Right? This is the insanity of it. They create the crisis, and then once the crisis comes to its fruition, they present their solution, which is ultimately a bigger crisis for us. Getting the country into debt is the goal of the government, because the government doesn't work for you, the people. The government works for the overseas bankers, whose profit margins are determined specifically by how much debt we get. Okay? It's just that simple. If you've got somebody who's got all the money in the world, and he's going to load you up or whatever, baby, there ain't nothing you can do. They're going to loan everything to you. It's like in a war. If you have a conflict with another person and your victory is determined by how much debt you get into, how much debt are you going to get into? You're going to get into as much debt as needs be. That's how much if you want to win a war. This is how it all works. And the same thing is happening now to Christchurch. They've hit us with a heart weapon, and now there's been some allegations about why that might be. And essentially it might be about a resettlement plan and various other things like that. Agenda 21 implementation comes to mind, you know. I can guarantee you they're probably going to be building some nice new slave blocks in the central city there, get everybody all nice and cooped up, cozy and nice and tidy with swipe card entry and eyeball scanners and the whole works. It'll be great. Everybody will be feeling a heck of a lot freer in the new Christchurch that got raised itself from the rubble. Eh? Eh? You know? Dictatorial scumbaggery all over the place, deciding what you can and can't do. I mean, it's beta testing. You have a look at all the red zone enforcement and all of this sort of stuff. Oh, stay out because it's dangerous. You mean stay out while the contractors destroy my livelihood, mate? Without permission? Without consulting me? Without me being allowed to go in there and get some of the stuff out in some cases? You know? These people are just nuts. You know, they say, oh, it's a disaster zone. You know, it's bound to be a disaster. No, mate. It's a disaster zone. Your company's not a disaster. Your company's working fine. And all these alleged mistakes that you're making seem to also be making you a lot of very purposeful money. And who owns all these contracting companies, I wonder? Oh, that's right. They're owned by the government. Yeah. I think some of the major contracting companies down in Christchurch are like 30 or 50% owned by the government or something like that. It's ridiculous. So they come at you from every single side here, man. I mean, it's just when the corporations are owned by the government or the government is owned by the corporation, it basically comes to the same thing. Tyranny. There's a whole lot of it. They're not concerned with people's well-being. They're not concerned with their ongoing lives, struggles and what have you, compensations. You know that an entire flat, an entire building of flats, I think 131 residents in the last few days was evicted from a high-rise building in Wellington. That's a council flat, okay? All those people have been there for a long, long time. They get 1 week's fracking notice. Because, wait for it, here it comes. It's getting there. The building might be earthquake prone. So, like, in an event that happens once in, I don't know, like 80 years or something like that, we need to get you out in a week. And my mate Benjamin Easton is there occupying the flat until those people get some form of compensation. Now, in Christchurch, you got the whole red zone scenario. Basically, they're splitting the city off. As far as I'm concerned, it's not entirely to do with what's structurally sound, what's really good, or anything like that. They seem to be following a grid pattern and in many cases, just arbitrarily ticking it off. You got 400 people No. Even entire communities, I think, have been waiting like 450 days to figure out whether or not they can go back into their homes that had been red stickered. Okay? Imagine, just for a moment, you sitting there where you are listening to the radio. Okay. I have to move somewhere else for 450 days. And I still have to go to my work. I still have to raise my kids. I still have to do everything for 450 days while these slowpoke mofos do their business. You gotta be kidding me. That is not acceptable. And it's because it's not about you. They don't give a frack about you. What do you think? That all these wealthy business people on high who are conscripts for the government, who are part of a fascist New World Order globalist takeover system that has been taking over societies for hundreds of years, cares about your little city? Nah, mate. They're just going to take everything that they can from it. 65,000 people have left the city already. Right? Like rats leaving a sinking ship. A ship sinking in the marshlands. And while everybody is struggling together, it was like, what, -3 the other night? And you have a lot of people still sleeping outdoors in Christchurch because their homes are red stickered. All right? This is supposedly a first world country. You gotta be kidding me. The ruthless nature of this government never ceases to shock me. But it never surprises me. I'm beyond surprised at this point. You're gonna assume the absolute nail-biting horror. You assume that that's the case? And most of the time you'll unfortunately be correct. Being correct is not an enjoyable experience. All right? There is a danger here between people just hearing this information for the first time and those who have heard it already. Those who may not have heard it thinks it sounds crazy. It's beyond belief. They get that whole normalcy bias thing going. You go, oh, well, they're saying that they're shooting Christchurch up with harp weapons. It's insane. I'm not going to listen to anything else. It don't be myopic. It's a bad idea. There are several very, very, very good reasons why you should think that the Christchurch quake was a harp job, and why you should think that the so-called cleanup process is a stitch up, okay? They have arbitrarily passed laws that allow them to make any modifications or any demolitions or anything like that anywhere in the entire country, and that the whole country is under emergency right now. And it has been since the very first quake about a year and some odd bits ago. Okay? They are not wasting this crisis at all. They are using it as a justification to do anything they want, anywhere, at any time. That's what crises are good for. Ooh! Desperate times call for desperate measures. Let's do something desperational. You know, let's do something desperado. That's what John Key is, man. He's the tall as, biggest as Mexican that you've ever seen walking into a bar full of gangsters with a guitar case full of weapons. Except instead of killing all those bad guys with his guitar case full of weapons, he sells all the weapons to them and then shows them a place full of innocent people who are incredibly wealthy that they can kill, rape, and murder and steal their property from. That's what happens. You have these hitmen who are sent into nations to destroy them. I had people talking to me and saying, Vinny, you can't be serious. John Key being re-elected after all this stuff he's done? Look at the surgence of violence bill, the food bill, the asset sales. People won't re-elect him. You're going to be kidding me. No. And I was just like, look, mate, he's been sent here to destroy this country. Once you realize that, you look at the country. Is it destroyed yet? No. Well, then he's going to be re-elected, isn't he? And sure enough, he was. You know, this is the thing. I'm not just making it up or drawing conclusions from random bits of information. There is a clear storyline, a clear motive, and clear evidence that almost everything in this country is being done deliberately to destroy it, either from within or from without, in most cases, from both places at the same time. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Caller lines are open, 218-339-8525.
Alone against your mad, deadly, worldwide, conspiratorial, gangster, computer god communism with wall-to-wall, deadly gangster protection, lifelong sworn conspirators, murder incorporated organized crime, the police and judges, the deadly, sneak parroting puppet gangsters using all the gangster deadly Frankenstein controls, these hangman rope sneak deadly gangsters, the judges and the police trick, trap, rob, wreck, butcher, and murder the people to keep them terrorized in gangster Frankenstein earphone radio slavery for the communist gangster government and con artist parroting puppet gangster playboy scum on top. There is no escape from this worse gangster police state using all of the deadly gangster Frankenstein controls.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, right here on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and incidentally, the Vinnie Eastwood Show .com. We're still having some major technical issues getting up our guest, Jason Hay from Christchurch, but I wanted to continue on about it anyway, because there's a lot of info in there that needs to be talked about, namely the mayoral races. Have seemed to be kind of like cheap stage plays, right? And I'm sure everybody will be familiar with electoral campaigns being cheap stage plays. But this one's a little bit different. Because Jim Anderson, anti-fluoride and anti-scumbaggery, and, to a certain degree, I mean, I don't like his anti-drug policy either, but that's no make no never mind, issue by issue. And he said, as he was really, really winning in the polls, like he was a good 20 points up or something, he said that it would take an earthquake tomorrow for Bob Parker to win the election. And there was, and he did. Isn't that interesting? Heavy chemtrail activity on the day. In fact, we still have chemtrails being sprayed all over Christchurch regularly. We have a couple of listeners to the show in Christchurch who send up photos periodically whenever the spraying happens around them, and they happen to have their camera there. You know, I get I'm putting together a wee little chemtrail mini doco at the moment, because that there was a huge one over West Auckland just a couple of weeks ago. If you go search it on YouTube, West Auckland chemtrail. There's me talking about it and protesting about it for about half an hour on the corner with a big chemtrail banner. It was great. But in Christchurch, there is also, not 15 minutes drive from Christchurch, a HAARP facility with the big, massive, long antenna arrays that stretch off into the distance. You're like, whoa, it's a big, big, massive antenna arrays. With a giant generator as well. Wonder what they're using all this for. Oh, it's research. Research into what? Oh, we can't tell you about it. It's being funded by the university. Really? Who funds the university? Well, private military contractors. Really? Every time, man. Seriously, it's either a corporation or a private military contractor that's funding all these universities all over the place. I mean, have a look at what happened after the Gulf of Oil Kano incident, which is still ongoing with the blue plague killing people left, right and centre, allegedly. BP just buys up all the universities. Any studies pertaining to the blue plague or any other side effects or anything bad related to do with what BP's done in the Gulf? Hush money. And likewise, research programs are all funded by unis. Well, funded by these corporations through the universities, even like our dental schools, for example, Colgate sponsored. Everything is bought off. Okay, this is the immutable conclusion that I've come to, and nobody's yet been able to produce sufficient evidence to the contrary. Everything major in your society, basically, has been bought off at some level or another. They're either playing the game or they're paying off the people who are telling them to play the game that they don't want to play. Okay? They're either on the take or they're paying protection money. It's the only way to become a big business in this country. We have a... Jason, I think I hear something. Are you there?
Hello?
Yeah.
Yo, I finally got you. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, mate.
Sweet.
All right, well, Jason...
So how's everything going here on Budget Day?
Well...
Benny.
Let's just say the budgets in my house are always a black budget. Now, I would
Maybe
love...
Maybe it could be called Doomsday instead of Budget Day.
Or the creature from the black budget, you know. It would be great if there was some kind of creature with tendrils of snakes and seaweed that would just, you know, swallow John Key.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so, Jason, who you are and what it is you do, mate.
You keep breaking up for some reason, but strange. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine, but you must have a bad connection there, breaking up. But anyway, try and tell us ahead who you are and what you do.
Cool. First of all, I'd like to thank you for everything you do. You're wonderful in what you do, and I'm so grateful that we have somebody in New Zealand that's leading the fight to get the truth out there. So, yeah, thank you for everything you do.
You're welcome.
Cool. And we can't afford to lose you, so I urge Kiwis out there to, you know, if they've got any spare change out there, please give it to Vinny, because we can't afford to lose him. I'm going to be giving you some $5 a month. Times are tough at the moment, so I think everybody's feeling the pinch. I've got an online business, and it was going really well up until the end of the year. And this year I've been really struggling. Sales are down 50%. I think everybody's sort of feeling it, and I don't think this budget's going to help too much, but I'll give you what I can because, we can't afford to lose you. You do a great job. And, so I'd just like to start with that. me, myself, I'm just an average Kiwi bloke that's concerned about what's going on around me, especially in Christchurch with the earthquakes. We have chemtrails here nearly every day. In fact, there were 2 months there where I recorded the chemtrails that were here in Christchurch around the time of the last major earthquake, and we had chemtrails 70% of the time, and 20% the other 30% of that time, 20% of that time, sorry. It was too cloudy to even know if there was chemtrails there or not. So, we have that problem of chemtrails, and of course, people that know anything about HAARP, they know that HAARP and chemtrails work together to cause chaos, basically.
Chemtrails are basically a conductor. When they put the metal particulates and the
barium
and strontium into the atmosphere, it basically allows a charge to conduct much more efficiently in that particular area, which is why it's often used and seen in conjunction with HAARP activity, where they're shooting down 1 billion watts of radio electricity.
Yes, correct. And actually, we've had, I don't know if your listeners know this, but we've had over 10,000 earthquakes here since the first one on September the 4th, 2010, and which was at first on GeoNet, it was a 7.4, and then it was later taken down to a 7.1. But there were witnesses in that first earthquake that saw flashes in the sky. And also people in the Chile earthquake saw the same thing. So that's a bit dodgy to start with.
Because of then, rainbow clouds as well, and people saw meteors, but the meteors had sonic booms. And meteors don't have sonic booms because they travel at 20... Exactly. Break from around 700 miles an hour in order to have a sonic boom.
Exactly. Yeah, and we see the rainbow clouds all the time here because of the chemtrails. So, yeah, after that first earthquake, up until from September the 4th through to September the 10th, we had 265 aftershocks, all ranging from 2.5 up. It was a bit of a scary time. And then we had the other big one. The next big one was in February 2011 on the 22nd, which mostly everybody knows that we lost 185 people, and it completely destroyed the city. If you go into town in the weekend when the construction workers aren't there, it's so ghostly and scary. It's really sad, but they're trying to get it up and running. We've got the new container city going up, which is really cool. It looks really cool. It's bright colours, and if you're a worker there, you feel very safe working there. So, yeah, that's one good thing for the city. So we had that one.
What I found that really funny is that because I thought that after the Christchurch, they'd try and turn Christchurch into a bit of a prison, and sure enough, those prison containers that they wanted to house all the prisoners in get shipped to Christchurch, and they just paint them bright colours instead.
For me on that day, of course, we didn't have cell phone coverage. We lost cell phone coverage. We lost power. We couldn't use our water. And my partner is a teacher in town, and I couldn't contact her, so I didn't know how she was. And it was a very scary day, and she couldn't leave the school until every kid had been picked up. And of course, there were all the cars in town got crushed. So a lot of the parents that worked in town had to run all the way from town to pick up their kids at school. So she didn't get home till probably about 8 o'clock at night. And I couldn't get out of from where we are, because we're on the east side of Christchurch, where all the earthquakes continue to happen out at sea. And all our bridges were down and our roads were absolutely munted. There were cars that were, you know, halfway in the ground, sucked up by the liquefaction. It was like a bomb had been dropped here. It was terrible. And when she got home, she just lost the plot. She had to keep it together that whole time around her kids, and yeah, she found it really tough. So yeah, that was the February the 22nd earthquake, and then we had another massive one in June 2011 on the 13th at 2:20. It was a 6.3, and basically. It was a repeat of February and the September one, and all the liquefaction had come up again. All the roads were munted again. More of the city fell down, more damage to the homes, to our home. Parklands were next to where I live. I feel sorry for those guys. They had just removed tons and tons of liquefaction out of their homes and their roads, and because under the roads were hollow, some of the roads had collapsed. So, yeah, we couldn't go out for ages. Luckily enough, we had learnt from the first one to stock up on food and stuff like that, water. So yeah, it was tough. And then we had the December the 23rd one, and I had started recording the chemtrails on the 9th. Of December, thinking that there was something dodgy going on, because we were getting sprayed just about every day, and sometimes two planes were going over our heads spraying. And my partner left for Blenheim on that day. Thank God she wasn't here for it, because I believe for me that was the worst earthquake out of them all. And as I was saying bye to her, I looked up in the sky and I said, something's going down here. And sure enough, about an hour later, we had the what I thought was the biggest earthquake out of them all. But on GeoNet, it was only recorded as a 5.8, which I can't work out why it would only be a 5.8. And then I later read on that some experts were saying that they believed it was way bigger as well. And my daughter was here at the time. I'll tell you what happened. My daughter was here at the time, and the earthquake started, and we were in the middle of the house, and I grabbed her, and she just froze, and I thought the roof was going to come down on me. Pulled her outside. We got outside, and the earthquake was still going, and it stopped. And then I just heard all this screaming. One of the neighbours had completely sort of lost the plot across the road. So I went over and comforted her. But when I was... Sorry?
On December 16th, 1961, the world turned upside down, then inside out, and I was born screaming in America. It was the tail end of the American dream. Just before we lost our innocence irrevocably, when the TV eye brought the horror of our lives into our homes for all to see. I was told when I grew up I could be anything I wanted. A fireman, a policeman, a doctor, even president, it seemed. And for the first time in the history of mankind, something new called an astronaut. But like many kids growing up on a steady diet of Westerns, I always wanted to be the cowboy hero. That lone voice in the wilderness, fighting corruption and evil wherever I found it, and standing for freedom, truth, and justice. And in my heart of hearts, I still track the remnants of that dream wherever I go in my never-ending ride into the setting sun.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. This is a really good network, ladies and gentlemen. If you like this show or the kind of content that we talk about on there, you can probably find it on a whole lot of the other shows as well. We're all the same gaggle of geese on this network. It's like a family. And incidentally, the network is run by a family. And we all kind of get inducted into this fold because we all just kind of get along and we want to get the truth out. We want to see an end to global scumbaggery once and for all. And it's just that simple because once you want to get rid of scumbaggery, you find that you can be really friendly with other people because you know for a fact that they don't engage in it and they want to take it out just as much as you do. It's great. AmericanFreedomRadio.com, ladies and gentlemen, archived shows all the time, every day. It's unbelievable the amount of work that goes into it and the amount of information, the great entertainment, the high caliber quality and professionalism of the network crew. I mean, we have some technical difficulties from time to time, but hey, that's live radio. But this is a really, really good network. And I encourage people to listen to lots of the different shows because, you know, I find that sometimes we all get lost in a bit of myopia listening to the same voice over and over again. And basically, we don't learn anything new. We're just kind of wanting to hear what we've already heard before and be who we've always been. And I encourage people to stop that. It's not good. Jason Hay from Christchurch is my very special guest. Jason, welcome back.
Thank you. So, yeah, getting back to the story from the 23rd of the December earthquake, I was over the road comforting one of the neighbours. And while I was sitting there, there was a big thud. And, you know, we had already been through 9,000 quakes, so I knew what an earthquake was. This didn't feel like an earthquake. I don't know what it was. It just felt like the earth had been kicked or by God or something. I don't know how to describe it. But I, from the first earthquake through the whole 10,000, from time to time I'd feel that same thud and mostly late at night. And so I'd go on GeoNet to see what it was, and a lot of the time it wouldn't show up on GeoNet. So, you know, so was it an earthquake or was it HAARP? You know, who knows? It was very dodgy. So, yeah, I concur with you, Vinny, on that there are some sinister plans going on here, that these earthquakes could be man-made, and there's many reasons why. We know that Anadarko, one of the Texas big oil companies, are wanting to search for oil out here in the east coast of Christchurch, and also in other areas around New Zealand. Another reason could be that maybe the Federal Reserve are starting to run out of money, so they wanted more money, so they put New Zealand in debt, so we've got to borrow more money off them, and we all know that the Federal Reserve is privately owned. Also, another thing is Fletcher's building construction has... most of the contracts here in Christchurch, and I've looked into it, and apparently the Rothschilds have owned 44% of the shares in Fletcher's. So they've taken most of the work, and also the only company they're allowed to buy their equipment and supplies off is Placemakers. And Placemakers, of course, is owned by the same people. And Placemakers is one of the most expensive places to buy off. Bunnings is cheaper, so, you know, and also I believe it's slowing down the progress of building the city quicker by just allowing the one company to do it. If they opened it to other companies, things could be done a lot quicker. Close to a year and a half later, and our house nothing has been done to our house. None of the areas around here, none of the work has been done. There are still people that have holes in their walls. We've got winter coming up, and it's going to be a real struggle for some of the people around Christchurch. And I can't believe that it's taken this long for those poor people that still haven't being allowed into their homes, like you were saying, Vinny. Why has it taken so long to make a decision? I mean, when you've got a problem, you sort out different solutions and you pick the best one, and it should be sorted out straight away. It's not one person making the decision; it's a group of people making the decision, which should speed it up a bit. I can't understand it.
Why you can't understand it, Jason? Because you're not a ruthless, sociopathic, scumbaggery filthmonger.
Yeah, true.
I wouldn't do it this. What I found was great about Christchurch is that neighbourhoods of people who didn't know each other at all just instantly, suddenly became a community and helping each other out, taking care of the elderly and making sure everybody's okay, food, water, toilets, and people mucking in with the spades and the clearing up the liquefaction together as a group, and those huge army of that turn up. Okay, see, that is a local community. That's a free market voluntaristic solution. The government does not want free market voluntaristic solutions. It wants corporate monopolistic and fascist solutions to all of these problems which they create.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. The nanny state, they do all the thinking for us so we don't have to make decisions on our own. But not only are the earthquakes a scary thing, but also our council is a scary thing. And I initially contacted Vinny because I read something in the press that just completely shocked me, and I couldn't believe what I was reading. And it was the plan that the council wanted to save money by dumping asbestos from the city out where I live, and not far from where I live, and where they were going to dump it is a recreational area. So people mountain bike, walk, there's horse tracks. I also surf out where it is. It's right by the beach. A year ago, here's a press release a year ago, and this was their promise. Dumping ground. Thousands of tons of lethal asbestos will not be dumped at Burwood Resource Recovery Park, the council says. So they promised that they wouldn't do it, and they said they were going to dump it out at Waipara, Cape Valley. And then I got this press release, and I don't listen to mainstream media or read mainstream media. It's a waste of time. But my partner said, you know, you've got to read this. And it said, the Christchurch City Council proposal to dump asbestos-containing material in Bottle Lake Forest goes against commitments made last year. The Green Party says the plan to dump 5,000 tonnes of damaged concrete pipes containing asbestos has angered Parklands and Murray Beach residents, some of whom say they were not told about the proposal and about the public meeting last week. So none of us knew about this public meeting. They tried to put this through hush-hush. They didn't want anybody to know about it. Apparently 30 people turned up at the meeting, but it was the Parklands Residents Association that went to it, and I don't know why they didn't do a pamphlet drop and tell us about this, because nobody knew about it. In fact,
they would have never get away with it if enough people knew about it. That's why they didn't tell
anyone. Exactly, Vinny, exactly. And even the part owners of the Burwood Recovery Park didn't even know about it. The councils, the Ashburton, Hurunui, Samhain, Waimakariri Districts Council were also unaware of it. They tried to sneak this through without anybody knowing. I can't believe it. We all know that asbestos is dangerous. It causes cancer, other ailments. Also, we have a high water table here, so their plan was to put it in a cell, so basically dig a hole in the ground, dump the asbestos in there, then the asbestos was going to run into our water table, and their plan was that they were going to safely take it out to sea. It would safely run out to sea, so they had no care about killing the wildlife or anything out there, and I surf out there, so that would have really peed me off. So they had no care for us. After what we've been through, just to save a few bucks, because it was closer to the city than than going out there. So they didn't give us a letter to tell us all this was going down. But then on the 18th, 2 days later, we get a letter from the council saying, this letter is to advise you that the following a consultation meeting on the 7th of May, we're going into a break. And feedback will be received from the residents, and the decision has been made that asbestos cement pipes or any other asbestos products will not be disposed of at Burwood Landfill. So they were nice enough to let us know through this letter, but not nice enough to let us know that they were doing this to start with. So yeah, I'm outraged, but I'm glad we have won something, and the mainstream media has.
I always see this every single time. The media don't report on it. The government doesn't want to tell about it. And so basically, once people do find out about it, usually by the work of individual activists who go out there freaking out and spreading the word and making a huge huss and a fuzzle and whatnot, that means that they can't put the asbestos into your community with asbestos, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after the break. 339-8525, getting the best off out of it. Don't they? Oh, no, actually, they kind of don't. You know what's really strange about chemtrails is that they don't seem to be affected by gravity. They just sit there. It's unbelievable. They don't seem to cascade down or anything like that. They just spread out and seem to just sort of turn into a milky white haze and then disappear. And we had a couple of instances where we would be sitting out, we'd find a chemtrail come out, and what would happen is you'd have to see these huge cloud systems that seem to get drawn directly into the chemtrail. It's very strange. It's like they attract clouds, and they don't form them. Clouds, like, literally move and come towards them. It was very strange. And like, the wind direction even changed as a result. We can't account for it. We don't know what's going on. There's some just weird stuff everywhere, all the time. I want to know what's going on, but every time anybody goes and asks the government about it, they say it doesn't exist. And just like all the corruption and everything like that that we're seeing almost daily now being exposed, even by mainstream media. Okay, you know that when mainstream media can start exposing corruption in your government, that is a sign that the corruption is absolutely at epidemic proportions, okay? Because mainstream media cotton on to about 1% of what's really going on. So if they've managed to cotton on that basically two high-level members of parliament from both sides of the house are acting in corrupt behavior inside of the past couple of weeks, you know that this situation is really dire. Jason Hay is my guest from Christchurch. Welcome back. And also, ladies and gentlemen, you want to call in. The number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. If you are calling from New Zealand, you just add a 001 onto the...
Come on, Kiwis.
And it's an idea to basically, you get yourself a Compass calling card, Kia Ora card. Have you ever heard of those, bro? You know, get down to the little corner dairy or something. Get that if you don't have the Skype working, And that's like 3 cents a minute to the US. Okay, you buy a little $5 card, 3 cents a minute. It gives you quite a decent amount of talking time. Not to mention you can call pretty much anywhere. I used to work for Compass, I know. They're the best. And what's the other side? Oh, yeah, yeah. If you're on Skype as well, Skype credit's really cheap. I think it's like 20 Australian dollars. I had to pay like a minimum to get your first round of Skype credit. And then it's like 1 cent a minute. So, you know, it's worth the investment. And again, if you've got any people overseas, I'd recommend you call them too. Tell them about the Vinnie Eastwood show and tell them this is why you got your Skype credit. speaking of which, about giving their due credit, Penny Bright. Oh, God. Jason, do you know anything about Penny Bright?
Do I know anything about Penny Bright? Of course I do. She's brilliant. And I learned a lot from her about the towers that have gone up since the earthquakes. That's another sinister plan that they've come up with. Since the earthquakes, we have had a massive increase of towers here. And I've contacted the council and I said, why are there so many towers going up? Because I'm one of these people that get affected by radio waves and stuff like that. I try not to use a cell phone because I feel like crap, you know, after it. And Penny Bright's the same. And there's many of us that feel that way. A lot of people don't believe it, radio waves can affect you in that way. So anyway, I contacted the council and I said, why have so many towers gone up? Like in Parklands here, we have two across the road from each other with, you know, heaps of the, what do you call them, the things that are on them for each company. And the council got back to me and just says, oh, you know, it's got nothing to do with us. It's the cell phone companies. And I said, but we've got two towers, one across the road from each other. Isn't one tower enough to supply the companies? And of course, they didn't come back with a reply. They don't really know. But, yeah, I'm really dodgy on that. And we know that people that live around towers.
Wireless lampposts.
I can't believe it. I went through my research. I found out that they actually put them in rubbish bins, and so you can't see them. They actually make trees look like them. So a branch might have it in it. You know, you go up and knock it, and it's made out of metal. It's not made out of wood. New buildings that go up, like a lot of the new buildings that go up in the city, I guarantee they will be built into the building so you don't even know they're there. Now, if you're working in an office next to it, you know, your chances of getting cancer or feeling like crap every day are very high. So, yeah, I learnt a lot from Penny, and she does a great job.
She's basically been dogging John Banks and white-collar crime and local council corruption in this country for the best part of the last 10 years. And without her research, we wouldn't know what we know about how councils really operate and how Agenda 21's taking over. And what's interesting is that Penny hasn't even read Agenda 21. She doesn't know a whole lot about it. But just by following the money and the white-collar crime and the corruption in the judiciary and the local government and in central government level as well, just reading documents, laws, submission requests and all of that kind of stuff, she's basically exposed the whole works. And what I was trying to prove here is that one person acting of their own volition, going out there, doing the work and exposing scumbaggery by themselves is capable of doing a heck of a lot of work. Just so long as there's somebody like me there, usually, to document it and upload it and edit it and get it out there for people. And with the Christchurch situation, I think that right now is the time, Jason. I think people have been living under these Christchurch earthquakes for long enough. There've been big enough protests against the council from all of this crap. People aren't having it anymore, and I think it's time that they learned the truth about A, what caused the earthquake, and B, what the real agenda is behind the council's newfound love for control of the city with their contractor mates.
Exactly. Another thing that scared me about the council was I thought we had a desalination plant, I think you call it, set up here over where I live, not far from where I live. And I was a bit dodgy on it, so I contacted them, the council, to see has anything new been added to the water or anything like that, because we all know that they're trying to put fluoride in every city around the world, and a lot of them won't accept it because of the knowledge we know about fluoride, what it does to you and stuff like that. And do you have fluoride in your city there, Vinny?
Oh, yeah. Like I said, man, Auckland's fabulously fluoridated, but fortunately, this house that I'm living in, the little flat underneath of, was owned by a listener of mine who still owns it, and there's a whole house fluoride filter. So I don't, okay. I don't shower in chlorine gas. It's great.
Excellent. So yeah, the council got back to me and said, no, we haven't added anything to it, but the health board have advised our council to add fluoride to our water, and I just couldn't believe that. With everything we know about fluoride now, and the health board want to add fluoride in Christchurch, and I'm not sure when that's coming up, but I'm gonna keep an eye on that. So if there's any Cantabrians listening, keep an eye on that. If you hear anything, let me know. I've got a YouTube channel, Connecting the Dots NZ. There's not.
Who doubts that fluoride is dangerous or thinks that it's absolutely necessary? Okay, I was on the radio with Kerry Woodham this one night. I think it was late night news talk ZB, and I was talking about just even the basic chemicals that they use to clean the water, like chlorine, which is used to clean your pool, and you wind up drinking it. And she goes, yep. "Well, what about all the places that and all the teeth of people in places that aren't fluoridated?" And I go, "What? Like the whole of Europe?"
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
No fluoride, okay. European drinking water by law. Okay? If anybody thinks that Europe is just somehow unevolved and just doesn't know what they're on about, then you obviously are from New Zealand, a tiny little island nation with a tiny little pea brain in the middle of freaking nowhere floating around, okay? You have been floating around in this this toilet of a country like a bowl, like a turd in a bowl for far too long, and you need to get out.
Yeah. And yeah, this isn't our opinion. If you guys don't believe us out there, there's so much evidence and research that goes into this. It's all there on the net. Just check it out yourself. It's all there. So yeah, our council is very dodgy and obviously don't care for their people too much by what's going on. Anyway, getting back to the chemtrails, because chemtrails I'm really worried about here in Christchurch, because we're getting them nearly every day. We've got them today. And if anybody doesn't know much about chemtrails, a good movie to watch is What in the World We're Spraying, and we've got our honourable Dr. Nick Smith in it.
What in the world are they spraying?
Oh, sorry. And yeah, Dr. Nick Smith is in it. And
The Honourable.
Honourable, yeah, right. Isn't karma a good thing, Vinny, eh? He's been kicked out.
Just north of you in Kaikoura, you know Will Ryan from Kaikoura Skywatch, right?
Yeah.
Nick Smith is the MP for Kaikoura. So he's out walking one day in the township. Will comes up to him, and there's a plane laying a chemtrail right to a plane that's laying a contrail. Oh, I mean, like, perfect opportunity to spot the difference, you know. And he says, no, they're both normal.
Yeah, what goes on in these guys' heads? You know, it's the perfect example. We've been brought up to think inside the box, and, you know, we're not taught to think outside the box. A perfect example of that is I contacted Michael Laws, and he's an intelligent guy. He's onto it. He replied back to me. I contacted him through email, And I said, you know, we've got, so I didn't mention that the earthquakes are man-made or anything like that. I said, we've got chemtrails galore here in Christchurch. Can I come on and speak about them? And he replied back with, oh, if you think like that, you're going to be classed as a conspiracy nut. So I sent back a couple of movies for him to watch and some evidence, and he says, I think you have fallen into the conspiracy nut category.
What he means is, if you think you sound like a conspiracy nut.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, an intelligent guy like that, you think instead of just blocking it out, you think he would go, oh, maybe he's onto something, and look at the research and go, oh, shit, he's right, you know, and then maybe just do a simple thing by looking up in the sky, because I know that just about every major city in New Zealand are being hit with chemtrails all the time. So, you know, and they have been for, I believe, around about 20 years. I know in my research that people think that they've been happening from the mid-90s, but I can remember as a kid, and my mum agrees with me, looking up in the sky and thinking it was a jet plane leaving these big lines in the sky. And that was in the mid-80s. So I, you know, maybe we were a testing ground, I don't know, but I believe we've been sprayed here for a very long time.
World War II footage in Nazi Germany where there's a giant chemtrail over Berlin.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, but if you search that on Google, it should come up. It was a YouTube video somebody found and uploaded a couple of years back. It was just like, wow, man. And this goes to, more to the point that whenever you see something, whenever something gets exposed, can be resting assured that it has been going on for a very long time without your knowledge, and that, and if it gets exposed enough, what'll happen is they'll officially announce it, but say that it's good.
Yeah, and have you noticed how most of the new movies and rap videos and that have chemtrails in them, and I read something the other day where apparently they have taken some of the old movies that they have remastered and that and added colour to, they have added chemtrails into them. I believe the reason for that is to make normalise them. So people, when they look up in the sky, think that they're just a normal thing because they're in our movies, they're in our rap videos, lots of different music videos. Not good.
What's it? There's an English program, Grand Designs, and they're always built real great mansions out in the middle of nowhere. And every single time in the missus sit down and watch this program, we don't watch it that often, but every time we do, in the middle of nowhere, behind these giant mansions that they're building, massive chemtrail streaked right across the sky of the English countryside. Every time. It's inextricable. And even the French. There was a French Lego commercial with a little Lego guy driving through a little Lego town, and there was chemtrails being sprayed left, right, and centre, and was being shot from the ground, so it was always looking upwards at the chemtrails the whole time, and then the climate of this is 8 jets flying in form, laying coloured chemtrails of the rainbow across the entire city as the guy drives out of it across a bridge. You're gonna be kidding me. It's like it's right in their face. It's like Starburst. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. 218-339-8525. 218-339-8525.
Broadcasting live from the Chateau de Rothschild, nestled deep in the Kashmir Hills, overlooking our harp test site known as the City of Christchurch, we're going to be selling a lot of very nice deck chairs to all those people that have to sit out in the cold this winter, because we're not getting our Rothschild companies to build their houses quick enough, and hopefully some of them will die in accordance with our eugenicist plot to depopulate the area. Jason Hayes, special guest. Welcome back.
Thanks, Vinny. Sorry, I didn't hear that.
Never mind. Forget about it.
You sound like you don't have too many years left in you there.
Well, actually,
which is probably a good thing, isn't it? Because we don't want people like you on our planet.
Not too far from the truth, mate. I'm probably getting excited by some Rothschild agent, you know, going to come in. In fact, somebody asked me the other day, hey, Vinny, aren't you afraid of people, you know, like coming into your house and surveilling you and killing you and everything? And it's like, nah. But as soon as, you know, some jackbooted thug wearing a balaclava and carrying M4s with attack dogs and vaccines in his tool belt or something, he's going to jab into my neck like some giant piss-taking cockroach, mosquito-flying thingy, okay, then I'll start worrying about it. Yeah. I'll probably be really worried.
So yeah, getting back to the chemtrails, Vinny, I've contacted a lot of the media. In fact, some of the interviews that were done here in Christchurch, there were chemtrails behind the interviewer. So I contacted the media and said, did you realise you had chemtrails behind you while you were doing the interview? And gave them a rundown on chemtrails. I haven't heard back from any of them. So, yeah, I can't understand that. I thought that would be breaking news, but they don't seem to care about it.
They don't seem to be in the habit of bringing out breaking news, but if there is news and it's complete, they seem adept at breaking it.
Yeah. I mean, the pathetic news we sit down and watch every night at 6 o'clock is pathetic. I mean, the penguin, Happy Feet, what we watched, that was the leading news there for 3 or 4 nights. Who the hell wants to watch a bloody penguin being saved and our taxpayers' money going into that? Yeah, I love animals, and yes, we should save them if they can be saved, but that's not news, especially when what's going on with the world at the moment, how these criminal elites are trying to take it over very subtly. And that's that brings me back to our discussion yesterday that we didn't really finish, how I believe that we're not going to win this, but we can put a spanner in the works. And the reason why I think that, Vinny, is because the technology they have now is very different to the past, like World War II, for example. Yes, we could have got our guns and fought against Hitler, and we did in the end, a little bit too late. But this is a little bit different. They have us controlled in our, most of us controlled in our minds, vaccines, chemtrails, and the majority of people just don't get it. And it's too late for a lot of people, so I believe they're gonna eventually win. And if anybody too big gets in their way, they will just put them down. And when I say put down, I mean put down like a pig or a dog, because that's what they see us as. So yeah, I believe, and you know, I don't believe in religion. Because religion, of course, is a system. It's man-made, but you have to take the Bible into account. It is historical proof, and the end result of that is not good. They do win up until a point, and of course, you know, you've got Nostradamus and so many different things you can look at and see that the outcome's not going to be good. And the Bible has been correct up until this point with their predictions. So I only can see it turning into crap. Really, well, yeah. what do you think about that? How do you think we can win this, Vinny?
As I said yesterday, we've already won. We're just going through the motions here. And the Bible's very interesting because on the one hand, it does say, yes, we're going to spend 7 years in darkness under the rule of the New World Order, and then eventually Jesus will come back to save us. Now, who wrote the Bible? Who stitched it together and who put all those eclectic stories in there? The Romans. Now, did the Romans have a belief that their emperor was God? Yeah, they kind of did, didn't they? And did they go around convincing everybody that they had to say that our emperor was God? And we'll give you all this religion, we'll give you all this nice stuff, and roads and medicine and education and all of that sort of stuff, just as long as you say that our emperor is God. Now, the Romans were very wise, and they knew that everybody's beliefs could be manipulated, especially en masse. And so they've built in, this is part of my belief or my interpretation, is probably not a biblical scholar or anything, but my interpretation is that the Bible was in part put together to instruct people and instill a moral fiber and a character so that they would actually be much easier to control, because it's a lot easier for a policeman to control a law-abiding citizen than it is for him to control an incredibly violent, moralist criminal, isn't it? Normal citizens stay in line. They do good things for each other, and in many cases, they actually help the police in local situations where information is necessary. So, it essentially is a system of government. That's what religion basically is. Whether you're living under Muslim Sharia law or a Christian society, okay, it's all a system of law. And what laws have done, by and large, is simply restrict what people can do. And instead of helping them when they're in trouble, it punishes them for trying to get themselves out of that trouble. And when it comes to the end of the world predictions, what I see is a shift towards a sort of like a helpless dependency. And people use that helpless dependency that they feel at the hearing and more to the point, the believing of the end of the world, the end of society as we know it, the end of freedom, the end of the United States, end. Now, the thing is, there's no such thing as an end because things keep going on. So you don't have to worry about the end of anything, because even if something does end, you might not be here to see it. So that doesn't matter anyway. What matters is right here, right now. What are you doing in this moment? And those who prepare, those who really do make an effort, change history. Because there's been experiments with time travel. There's some dude, I forget what his name is, but he's been on the Coast to Coast show with George Norrie a number of times. And what they found is whenever they travel back in timelines or forward in timelines, things change every time. And what that has taught me, and I think is should be true along most principles, is that things change with time. There is nothing set in stone. If you want a different future, you can make a different future, and time itself cannot stop you. So if you sit around and feel, believe, or even put energy into the idea or the thought process that the world is going to end and there is nothing you can do about it, that thought process itself will disempower you and ensure that that future that you dread, that you could have done something about, will have nothing to stop it. So regardless of whether or not the world will end, regardless of whether or not the New World Order will win, I think it is actually wise to deny that possibility simply in the mind, not because not out of petulance, but simply by the recognition, if it is a reality, and thing is, it's not a reality yet, we haven't lost because we're still alive. And until that reality, until the fat lady sings and the show is over, I will not believe that we will lose. Because I see too much potential, I see too much creativity, I see too much action, I see too much positive change happening at all the time to believe what the mainstream media spews out as being reality is actually true. All these economic crises and this, that, and the other. There's Fukushima radiation, blah, 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 blah. You have a look at all these big, bad problems that are all over the place with the chemtrails and everything like that. All these things, the more complex a problem is, conversely, the more simple the solution usually is. For example, you got all this Fukushima, you got everything around here, you got all these criminal banking cartels taking over the place. Change the banking system. Once you're issuing your own currency, all these other things will lose all their funding and they're dead, okay? And there is a huge End the Fed movement. Ron Paul has won, basically, the elections in the United States, and they've had to just lie and say that he hasn't, okay? We're really, really showing it right in their face. And I'm encouraged by what I've seen over history that the vast majority of people, in general, accomplish very little. They only get led one way to the other. Sheep will follow the shepherd, as the saying goes. And if we are the ones who are put in the places to be the shepherds, we will not be the same kind of scumbaggery filth that would take people's rights and liberties and property and freedom away from them. So how about we put ourselves in the positions of the shepherds and accept the responsibility that is our birthright to lead and to help our fellow man through these dark times, give them encouragement, give them something to be hopeful for. Hope springs eternal, and it is a source of endless energy, an energy that no amount of tyranny or scumbaggery can extinguish.
Cool. Yeah, and that's why I'm here, and that's why I try and push the message out of what's going on in the world, and I guess, you know, we'll probably need another 2 hours, another show to talk about the Bible and why I think it's you know, a historical, literal.
I believe that. But I also believe that it is a playbook.
Exactly, if it's put in the wrong hands, and you can see through religion, they've taken it and they've used it to manipulate the masses. And I mean, how can a man hold a Bible in one hand and in the other hand hold a sword and promote killing people? That just goes completely against the Bible. But if you look at the Bible. It coincides with the Agenda 21 plan. The predictions in it are have been right up until this point, and if they continue to happen, well, you know, it's already been written.
If I was to write a script for a film or a stage play or something of that nature, and I wanted people to believe it was real, and I had sons and family members and things of that nature that would carry on my legacy and keep reading the script and rehearsing it on through the generations, and many of them will never even fulfill or even play a single role or even utter a different word of the script until it's time. And once it is time, once all the preparations are done, once all the understudies are trained, once everything is in place, then you start putting that script out to people. And then when they see it being acted out in front of them, they think that it's a prediction, that it's real, that it's somehow a way to justify a belief in everything that goes in that script, unbeknownst to them that they are reading a script that is entirely meant to produce a particular type of effect on the mind. And the Vatican knows how to affect the mind and control the mind exceedingly well, and they've been doing it for a very time. And that's why I feel that Christianity is greatly suppressed seen as kind of kooky nowadays, and is just basically
dumped on in the media and all the sitcoms and everything like that is because they want one part of the programming, the end time and the helplessness programming. Oh, God will save me. God will do something. As opposed to, I have to do something because I am one of God's chosen children and I must go out and serve God's will. Those are the two different types of archetypes that you get out of modern Christians that I feel. There's the hypocrites who basically do nothing, okay, and just say that they're Christian and go to their churches and say a few words, give no action or no connotation to what the words actually mean or how or live their life by them by any degree. And then there are the real Christians who in some cases don't even bother going to church because they read the Bible themselves and they don't need anybody to tell them or interpret them. And they take part in their community. They raise their children really properly with a good moral upstanding and upbringing and teach them things about the world. The other kind, the kind that blindly follows and doesn't actually have the moral ethicity that actually comes from a real spiritual connection with a higher being and great rules to follow, hey, they're the ones that get promoted up to the heads of the churches and go off being pedophiles and raping all those little boys and everything.
Yeah, true.
Tasty conversation. Lots of callers.
The fly to New Zealand. By plane from New York City, it takes 22 hours. So from cities,
okay, that's
19.
Ladies and gentlemen,
I fly all the time. In 6 hours,
the plane is... we've got four callers in like 12 minutes, so we're going to get through them as quickly as possible. Tim in Wisconsin and the Greek, your regular callers, so I'm sorry, we'll go to our newish callers. First, 808 area code, you're on the air. What's your first name and state you're calling from, please?
My name is Leslie, and I'm calling from the beautiful state of Hawaii and Maui. How are you today, Vinny?
Aloha.
Do you hear me? Aloha. Hey, Vinny, I know this is American Freedom Radio, and I would like to put out a word for all the people that are really interested in freedom. If you are a Christian, stop ganging up on gay folk, okay? Read your Bible. The sins of Sodom and Gomorrah were more than just men having sex, okay? The main sins were that the people did not care about anybody. They were greedy. And there's a whole lot of other sins those people in those cities were guilty of. We're all sinners, okay? So let's stop picking on one sin to dump on, all right, people? You know? We are going to get there eventually, you know? So let's, you know, stop being so judgmental and stop picking on one sin over the other. We're all guilty. Let's live. Allow up everybody. Freedom to everyone.
Yeah.
Sorry, Vinny, that's probably my fault for bringing up the Bible.
I find there's actually nothing wrong with a strong belief in Jesus or God. I mean, just even in survival situations alone, you have a look at people who are POWs in Vietnam. If they were hardcore Christians and they believed in Jesus and the Bible, they weren't alone in those prison camps. And they were like 99 times more likely to survive being incarcerated for extended periods of time. So regardless of whether or not religion is overall good or bad, there are good elements. And just like you're saying, there's bad elements to people that get fingers pointed at them. But thing is, humans are complex organisms. You don't look at a single trait in isolation. You have a look at all the traits of that person. If somebody's homosexual and yet they're a volunteer, maybe they help out around the community, that they support local businesses by buying them, and they go to 9/11 truth protests and stuff like that, no truth or Christian should really have a problem with them because they obviously care about mankind. Leslie, thanks for your call. We're going to have to jump to our next caller, 705 Eric. First name, hey, state Vinny. You're calling.
I got to make this short just because I'm on the bus. I don't want to disturb you guys, but I am an avid listener. Learned a lot off you. I just like to put a metaphor out there that I usually bring up when I have any Christian come up to me. I don't really have a belief, but I try to understand as much as I can. And I just like to throw that out there.
You don't really think you have a belief, but you want to understand as much as you can. It means you're trying to seek the truth of things, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's like you can have a belief, but it kind of feels to me deep down that beliefs seem to be limited. So I try to understand as much as you can to be a lot more, better for the mind, exercising the mind.
What I've said from a long time since I was a boy is that all you can do in this life is learn what you can, and if you're lucky enough to live into old age, you've got to teach what you've learned to the next generation so that they don't have to go through all the stuff that you went through in order to get to this old age, so that they can actually enjoy themselves and have a little bit of knowledge under their belt before they get out to the big bad world and it teaches them the lessons the hard way. And I think
Go ahead.
I just wanted to grab your name and the state you were calling from.
Oh, before we leave. Okay. Yeah, it's Ryan from Barrie, Ontario, Canada.
All right. Yeah.
And I just want to say one more thing to add on to that is you come into the world with nothing and you leave it with nothing, and everything else is borrowed knowledge.
You know what? You're absolutely right. There's this mentality that people think that he who has the most when he dies wins. And as Lewis Black would say, you're dead, Fracknut. You didn't win.
And you know they say you sleep when you die. I don't think you sleep. How did you get all pissed off? You don't have a body. That's reincarnation is going to be.
Well, the thing is, if you're a dead spirit, why do you need to rest your body for sleep?
Yeah. Exactly. But it is nice to sleep, doing the other dimensions and whatnot, things that you discover in sleep is also very intriguing.
Yeah.
I see a lot of people, they don't get over 5 hours sleep, and they don't dream at all. I think people need to dream and have after 5 hours sleep to sort of wrap in their head. Because that's why dreams essentially are all messed up.
Yeah, well, I hope when I or when I die, I can come back and go so I can haunt David Rockefeller Mansion or something.
Ooh. or reincarnate at his grandson, teach him a little couple things.
I'm more in favor of becoming a demon and then possessing each Rockefeller and Rothschild, one at a time, getting them to commit suicide, that sort of thing. And we'll just say, oh, it was all an accident. There's nothing else going on here, Just go back to your $7 trillion mansion in the English countryside or something, Go home, but you can't stay here. So stop looking around, It's just a Rothschild epidemic, okay? It must have been the pharmaceutical drugs or something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ryan, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Of course, you got. That's really good, man. First time caller into this show, so cheers for that. And we're going into Tim in Wisconsin and the Greek. I think we'll have you on at the same time. Guys, welcome to the program.
Hey. Cheers.
All right.
Okay, so you're going to go first.
Greg, do you want to go first?
If you don't mind. I like Christian's better, like Lindsay that you had on, because he still says we must resist the New World Order, even though I'm sure he knows the end time prophecies. And also, Dr. Stan, he still gets the truth about what the corrupt ones and the evil globalists are doing. Even though I'm sure he knows about the end time prophecies in the Bible, he doesn't just make excuses like the most of the American Christians. Doesn't just come up with Christian sounding excuses to do nothing. I just wish that the most American Christians could just get it that because they're still here on this earth, whenever there's anything wrong going on, that it's not just like crime on the street and stuff like that. It's not just that stuff. You're supposed to only doing anything against, but also when the crime is when the things go when the things wrong are also in your government, and that because you know, that the corrupt stuff, you know, when your government gets corrupt, and, you know, that's really no different than what criminals, you know, on the street, you know, may be doing, you know, and should be stood up to by Christians just as much as, you know, any crime on the street and stuff.
Yeah. I thought there was an old song, "Onward, Christian Soldiers," or something like that, where you see the enemy, you see evil detritus and people being soulless and lying to each other and murdering and all of that kind of stuff, and you set your course in order to oppose it and correct it and make sure that society is civilized and not filled to the brim with filth and darkness and scumbaggery and the dominion of Lucifer, right? I mean, if that's the real, like, warrior Christian type persona, it is severely lacking.
Yeah, I like to think so.
All right. Thanks for your call, Tim. The Greek.
Hey, howdy ho. This is not the best for last, it's the worst for last. Vinny, what sparked me to call was the aspect of Christianity in the Bible, and I don't want to lose the audience, but Christianity is based on church tradition, which I've been looking at it for 10 years, and there's nothing in Christian tradition that is found in the Bible. And an example would be all of your holidays, all of your traditional holidays that the church promotes, other than Basket Weaving Day and Nose Picking Day, is based on ancient occult rituals based on human sacrifice and child sacrifice. And that is one of the most difficult things to confront a quote-unquote believer in Christianity with, and they just don't acknowledge it. Just like a mainstream person would say, well, if the doctor said vaccines are good for me, they must be good for me. If the church says these holidays are good, they must be good. You see, it's the same paradox. The other thing is, you ever notice how governments are toppled through revolution, but the churches remain? So the government is not really the government. The churches are the government. Well, the religious entities are...
Yeah, wanting to whip up the masses for their own ends because they have a lust for power. And that's a human condition. What the funny thing is, it's also part of the lessons of the Bible. I think that's also what originally got Lucifer cast down with the rest of us here, is that he believed too much in himself and he thought he could control and do whatever he wanted, and he didn't want to be under the boot heels of anybody else anymore. It's better to rule in hell than serve in heaven. Kind of like you cast off everything that made you who you are, like an ungrateful child, and then you wind up living that ungrateful lifestyle and perpetuating it through the eons. And if you have a look at our society now, I think we're almost coming to the crux of a very Luciferian dominion on Earth. People's and ethics of standards. We have strippers on like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Children come home. There's child sex trafficking going all over the time. It's a whole big mass of crapola. And so we'd best get up and fight against it if we want to be around to enjoy anything in the future or with our grandchildren. Thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen.